I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7 on WVXU and WMUB. You may not recognize his name, but I know you know his stories. Chris Van Allsburg is here in the studio with me, celebrating the 30th anniversary of his hit children's book for the holidays, The Polar Express. He's also the author of Jumanji and Zathura, and is here to talk about that anniversary and his work. Chris, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
No, thanks. Nice to be here.
I have to begin because somebody asked me this. What can you talk about after 30 years about the Polar Express? It's a book that has become kind of ingrained in our holiday traditions. And I said, well, I think there's plenty to talk about because that spirit's still here and the story's still fresh 30 years on. So I want to ask you, Chris, tired of talking about the Polar Express yet?
Maybe a little bit because I, as an artist, I'd like to think up something new to say for the questions I get asked. I guess that would at some point drive me to deeper and deeper insights. I'm afraid I haven't hit many of them, but I have some general ideas about I think why the book found as large an audience as it did, and I actually don't know much more about it than that.
Well, what question over the course of time have you been asked most often, so I can avoid it here during this interview?
Okay.
What do you get asked all the time?
With respect to this book or my work in general?
This book.
Well, I guess it's when you were writing this book, when you were working on this and you were still in your studio, you hadn't completed the final image and then you did, wrapped it up. Did you know when you delivered it to the publisher that it was going to be a book that was different than the others, that would find a larger audience, a more enthusiastic reception? And I didn't. I didn't have strong feelings about that. And I think in some ways I've always defended against those feelings because if you're an artist and you're working on something and you're spending any time wondering about, will my future audience like this? Will my future audience approve of this? It has a really bad effect on the thing you're doing while you're doing it. So I, certainly while I was doing it, I wasn't thinking about people's reception or how they might react to it. And when I was done, I didn't give it much thought either. It was, I think, my fifth book. And so I had experience as a publisher, and a couple of my books had also found large audiences. So I thought maybe this one will be another one and maybe it won't, but you only sort of set yourself up for kind of a heartbreak if you believe you've done something that's going to, just excite the world, and it turns out to go unnoticed.
Well, so what has been most satisfying with reaction over the years, and what is still satisfying? Because there's kids who learn about the Polar Express every year and find that delight all anew. What has been satisfying to you?
Well, many things. I mean, just the simple reality of being an author, working in isolation and having this idea, which you, in my case, not giving a lot of consideration, is this something that will, resonate with a lot of people. The book was published. It turned out that was the case. So that right away is a satisfaction, not with this book, but with any book. Because there is on one level an argument to be made for artists working only for themselves, but the reality is, picture books are kind of a popular art form. And I don't think a picture book artist is being honest if they say, I don't care at all what people's reaction is. I certainly care. I try not to care until it's published. Yes. So at that point, I'm caring. And at that point, the book was well received and people seem to respond to its message, the theme in the book. And so that's very rewarding. In the most, the simplest sense, I mean, they're buying a lot of your books, so that's great. And not in the simple economic sense, but it's an endorsement of the idea you had or an embrace of it. So that's all quite rewarding, but as this book had such a kind of an unusual publishing history since its pub date, and it found its way onto bestseller list, which was unusual for a picture book and a great surprise to me, an even larger surprise to my publisher, I think. But it was, so that was different. And so I started to think differently about the book. And then other things would happen where I would get pictures from elementary school teachers who were reenacting the book in their elementary school classroom, where just before the Christmas vacation began, the kids would come to school in their pajamas, in their bathrobes, the only day they're allowed to do that. They will have built a little train out of cardboard boxes. They reenacted the book in the classroom while the teacher read it to them. And so that was quite rewarding too, because then it wasn't merely a story the children were being told, but they were acting it out. It was becoming a more kind of profound part of their childhood Christmas celebration. And that gave me a warm, fuzzy feeling.
I'm speaking with Chris Van Allsburg. He is the author and illustrator of The Polar Express, a favorite for the holidays. You can learn more about Chris and his work at our website, wvxu.org. And I wanted to ask, as I was looking through all the materials and getting ready for this interview, I saw a mention somewhere that you used oil pastels for these illustrations in The Polar Express. And this was the last time that you used oil pastels. Is that true?
It is true. It's also the first time. It was the first and last, because it was a material that I found lent itself well to the kind of atmospheric effects I was looking for in the pictures, but at the same time, quite difficult to manipulate in a way that allowed me to record detail. So the book is a combination of those atmospheric effects and sharper detail. So I found it a challenge to work with. I've used it a little bit since then, but it didn't go into my list of favorite materials I like to use to make pictures.
Well, I find it interesting. I have a couple of I live close to a couple of artists, shall I say, and they're always talking about pastels. I don't know if they've dabbled in oil pastels. I didn't ask about that, but they talk about moving the color around. But they have said it's a little, sometimes getting some of those details in is a little difficult.
Yeah, it is.
But something else about the illustrations here, it struck me when I was reading it yet again. I've read it many times to many different children. You make these beautiful illustrations, and then you put the snow in. So here you are on top of everything else, and you're taking your illustration and kind of masking it.
Well, it's winter.
Well, that's true.
and part of that atmospheric feeling grows out of the snow, and not simply the snow, which is in the forward part of the picture plane, but it also changes the colors as the picture recedes in the distance. But it is interesting, because you're right about the method in which it's done. You're basically doing a picture, and once you're completed, you add the snow. Obviously, you don't draw around the snow. That would be difficult. So, yes, it's a completed picture, and you can be happy with that. And you say, well, now it's going to start snowing. And it's not as random or casual as it might look, because snow, all the flakes aren't the same size, and they're slightly different. You know, they're closer together in some places and further apart in others. So, yes, I'm happy you made that observation, that I really sweated it out, because the reality is, with the materials you're using, if you put the snow down and you don't like it, tough. That snow is staying put.
Indeed. So I want to ask about the original impetus for the story. I mean, where did this come from? Because it has so many things that resonate both with kids and adults. On so many different levels. And I was just curious, you know, where in your heart you found this story.
Well, the story actually started out inspired by a kind of an image that I saw in my imagination, in my mind's eye. And the image actually was just an image of a train. And I'm not sure why, but in my imagination, I saw this train immobile, stationary. It only had a couple of cars. It appeared to be deserted, but steam was coming out of it, so the train was ready to go or had just stopped. And this was I've had this experience with other stories that I've written. This was kind of like a starting point, a train waiting to take someone somewhere. And then as I thought about it a little bit more and imagined it, I sort of closed my eyes and imagined myself approaching the train And for some reason, I imagined myself, possibly because it was night, I imagined myself in my robe and slippers approaching this train. And for some reason, I also imagined that it was winter and the snow was falling. And I could hear, as I took each footstep closer to the train, my feet crunching through the snow. And so this was just a tiny little 3 or 4 second, I don't know, story that I had. It's not a story. It was simply an event, but I thought it was the beginning of a story. So I asked myself some questions. The first one was, what's that train doing there? Where's that train going? And can I get on? And so as I answered these questions and decided, well, yes, I can get on that train. And if I do get on that train, it will take me where I want to go. And then I decided, well, in addition, I know it's winter. Well, if it was winter and I got onto a train and it could take me anywhere I wanted to go, where would I want to go? And I thought, well, gee, if it was Christmas Eve, where would I want to go? So at that point, the story was sort of done. And I've tried to describe this in a way that maybe sounds a little, I don't know, corny. But this story, once I got to that point, was complete in my mind. And I describe it sort of as a kind of recovered memory, because all the feelings that were attached to it, namely being 8 and wishing you could go there because you wanted to make sure that it really was there, all those things were just right there kind of waiting for me. It wasn't the creative process where you have to reflect, sort of hunt things down. When I decided I was going to get on the train and I knew where it wanted to go, all the kind of other thematic things that are part of the story, that questioning, that doubt, they were all there. So I describe it now as a recovered memory.
Beautiful. And a beautiful story and the beautiful illustrations, because I mentioned I've read this to any number of different children.
I'm happy to hear it.
They all have different reactions. You know, some focus on the train, some are looking at the owl, some are, you know, following different parts of the story. And it's interesting to see how they all pick up on something a little bit different. But I imagine it's going to make you feel a little bit old, because I've been having this experience myself lately, Chris. When you have some of your readers who grew up reading this and going, well, I'm reading it to my grandkids now. Is that something you face on a regular basis?
Oh, yes, yes. And you know, people who come in who are not young adults, they're sort of, you know, middle-age-ish or approaching it, and they tell me how important it was to have the story read to them by their parents. Now they're getting a copy that they want inscribed for their child so that their child can repeat the tradition of the Christmas Eve reading, you know. So it's a great feeling, but yes, it does make me feel kind of old, getting into the second generation, probably pretty soon the third generation.
Very soon, yeah. I can do yeah. it. Well, I know you don't like picking a favorite among your books. I enjoy all of your catalog, not just a Polar Express and the other popular ones. But I know you say that your next book's always your favorite book. Are you working on anything right now?
Well, I'm working on a few ideas. There's a process that I go through when I don't have anything to do, which is to find something to do. And so that process usually includes opening up some old books, sketchbooks I have, and looking at old ideas, and then seeing if those old ideas have stood the test of time, because I put them aside at some point, and now years or months later, do they still seem like a good idea? And if they don't, then I've got to add some more. And so I'm sort of at a process now of looking at, you know, 5 or 6 different ideas and wondering which is the one that I want to make what ends up being a very large investment of time in terms of the illustration.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me this morning, and thanks for all the stories that I've been able to share with a whole bunch of kids.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. Thanks.
Chris Van Allsburg, he is the author and illustrator of The Polar Express, among many other award-winning children's books. You can learn more about his work in the 30th anniversary edition of The Polar Express by visiting wvxu.org. This is the Book Club at 91.7.